Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, former CPG founder turned executive who finally woke up one day, 16 years into my career, and decided to take back my power and build a community for women in CPG. Tune in as we break down strategies that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses and talk about what it's like to be a woman in a male-dominated industry. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles, and celebrating the wins. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or life-changing insights, this is the place. All right, you guys, I just had such a fun conversation with Michelle Valdez-Wilton, who is the founder of Date Better Snacks. It's such an awesome brand if you haven't heard it yet. And this episode is really for all of you bootstrappers out there. Michelle has managed to grow her business all the way up to a regional Whole Foods approval without any outside funding. So it's really impressive what she has built with such a limited budget. She instilled help from her husband, who's an engineer, to help her build out packaging equipment. During COVID, she had to pivot because she's actually a restaurateur. And when she was forced to shut down during the pandemic, like right at the very beginning, she had to quickly pivot and figure out how she was going to make money. And this is how Date Better Snacks was born. So she set up an operation above one of her restaurants and they started making these awesome sweet treats and selling them to small independent grocery stores and retailers all over the country, really. So this is such a great story for anyone who's just getting going and is on a budget. And really, Michelle, she's just such a creative force with her background being in food, and she's a classically trained chef. And there's this part in the conversation where we talk about what it's been like for her as a female founder and sort of like the things that she's come up against dealing with men and big CPG. And she has some interesting experiences that we kind of break down and chat through. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I loved chatting with Michelle. She's so fun. So enjoy. Michelle, welcome to It's All Happening, Women in CPG podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Absolutely. I love your brand, Date Better Snacks, and I'm such a fan. I can't wait to dive in and hear all about how you started and your background. But first, before we get going, my question that I ask all my founder interviews is, what are you currently hustling for?
Well, we're just about to launch at Whole Foods Market. We were part of the Leap Accelerator brand. So right now, all of my attention...
Congrats.
Thank you. All of my attention is going towards that and just making sure that I really support that launch and do all of the demos and the marketing and everything to make it really successful.
Oh my gosh.
And super exciting. But the forager just told us that she's putting us in a playground. So that's like a four-way in the middle of the aisle. So off shelf. So we'll have dual placement. So that's coming up in July.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to talk about that and get all the details. Huge congrats. But before we get into all like the fun retail ops stuff, tell us about yourself and how you got going. You have a very interesting background. I would love to hear how you started this brand and just like what your food journey has been like.
I actually am a chef. I went to school to be a pastry chef and I love sugar. But I realized that sugar doesn't really love me back anymore.
Yep.
So I started making the Date Better Snacks at home, just like for myself. But I worked in fine dining restaurants all over San Francisco and Los Angeles. And then I became a private chef here in Los Angeles. And then went on to open restaurants. So at the most, I've had four restaurants in total.
Amazing.
And did not make it out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But we still have two. And that's really how I got into my journey, is because I love food. I love health also, health and wellness. Mm-hmm. Like, I check every single label on every package yeah. that I put in my body. It's a little crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, you kind of have to these days. But right? tell us the name of your restaurants, where they are. We need to know these things.
Okay, so we're on the east side of Los Angeles in Eagle Rock, and our restaurants are Four Cafe, which we just celebrated our 14-year anniversary.
Amazing.
Huge. And then Penny Oven, which is actually right across the street from Four Cafe. And most people would say, why did you compete with yourself? But they were building it out for a restaurant, and it was like, okay, I can decide what goes there and make it totally different than Four Cafe, or let somebody else go in and compete with me. So
yes,
it makes it easy because I don't have to travel far.
I mean, how convenient is that? And you live in the neighborhood too. So awesome. But they're different concepts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us the difference in the concepts.
Okay. Yeah. Penny Oven is more breakfast and lunch. And a full pastry program. So croissants, we also have a wood fire oven in there.
Yum.
Covered in pennies, hence the name Penny Oven.
Yep.
And then Four Cafe is more lunch and dinner, really healthy, like salads, sandwiches, bowls, everything made in-house from scratch. And then we change it seasonally. That's why we named it Four Cafe, for the four seasons.
Yes. Yum. I love that. And do you use local? Do you use like a lot of local suppliers?
We do. We work with a lot of local farms.
Yeah.
Which has been really fun.
Okay. Well, you know, I live close, so I'm coming soon. I am absolutely coming. So how did Date Better come to life? So you love sweets. You're like obsessed with health and wellness. When did you start Date Better, and what started this journey? Were you just making this for you, and then you started to share it with people, and just like tell us about how you decided to start packaging it?
So I started, like I said, sugar doesn't like me anymore, and I would really feel it in my immune system every time I would eat desserts. I would feel like super immune compromised, and I can tell that it was wreaking havoc on me. A lot of my family is diabetic as well. So I started making these at home just for like a rich, indulgent treat. And then when the pandemic hit, I was forced to close my restaurants temporarily by the health department. And I had that, what am I going to do to provide for my family? Because both my husband and I work on the restaurants. It's like all of our money. And I have two small children, and it was just a big...
So scary.
I have so much responsibility. So I looked over at the counter and I said, my husband and I had been talking about wanting to start a packaged food business.
Yeah.
And I had that like light bulb moment that they say, like, why don't I package these and see? So we worked with a local designer, graphic designer, very closely on the packaging.
Your packaging is so damn cute. I'm obsessed.
Thank you.
Julie, I mean, it really is.
Great job. She just did such a good job. And so I started just cold calling little shops and cafes and juice shops all over the U.S. I would get on Yelp and type in, gourmet grocery market.
Brilliant.
And juice shops. And I would find all of them. And I would literally email 50 stores a day. And people were interested, and I would send it to them. And then I started getting reorders and reorders. And
so how were you distributing it at that point? Just through Shopify, or did you have it up on Fair? Or how were you getting it to all those little places?
Yeah, luckily we got into Fair right when I started. I had been using Fair at Penny Oven. We have a marketplace. So I was really familiar with Fair. So in 2022, we launched on Fair, and I think that's what really helped Date Better.
Yeah.
As being like one of those early brands for Fair, because it's actually one of our biggest
sales channels.
Yes.
Is it? Oh my gosh. You know, I'm not surprised. Fair is so awesome. Every new brand that I work with early stage that is like a lightweight, very shippable product. It's just so perfect for Fair. I love the Fair marketplace. I really do. I think it's brilliant.
It's great. We're gaining 50 new stores a month on Fair.
Wow.
I know.
You know, I'm not surprised though, because there's so many small specialty grocery stores and everybody is just constantly on there searching for like products that really stand out, that are pantry staples, that don't have to be refrigerated. Like your product is perfect for fair. So, and all those like specialty shops around the country.
Right.
Okay. So kicked off fair in 2022.
Yes.
And then what happened? So you haven't really taken a regional approach. You've been selling nationally through fair for a while now.
Yeah. So my goal was brand awareness, build brand awareness before I get into retail.
Yep.
Because when you're in retail, you're such a small fish in a big sea.
Yep.
That building that brand awareness first will really help you get off the shelves on retail.
Absolutely.
And so I started fair 2022, quickly we're gaining momentum and really focused on Los Angeles also, just to self-distribute. So our first big retailer was Lassen's. I mean, we actually won the Natural LA Pitch Slam. Mm. So that was the first year that they had it, was 2022. So I won the Pitch Slam, which then gave us a free booth at Expo East.
And the Pitch Slam was through Naturally LA, the network?
Yes. Yeah,
just so everyone knows what it is. The Naturally Network is great.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
And so because that was in October, because I won the Pitch Slam, Joshua Lassen was one of the judges there. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because they didn't have their like tag. So you didn't know who was coming up.
Sure.
There was a lot of people, right? Not just judges.
Yeah.
So he's asking all these questions and I'm talking to him like he's just a regular like person, right? And then he starts asking like distribution questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, why does this person like want to know all this stuff? Like it didn't click for me.
Yeah.
But he handed me his card and he said, hey, after the show, like reach out because we want to carry these. These are fantastic. So we won that. That really gave us a lot of momentum because it then gave us a free booth at Expo East, mm-hmm. which, as you know, those trade shows are so expensive. Like,
yes, starting they really are.
$6,000. And as a small brand, you just don't have that.
Totally.
So that was great. And then I had the chance to pitch at Expo East in front of 400 people among all of the other Naturally channel winners. So Naturally Older, New York.
Yep.
And that was a really great experience.
Lots of eyeballs on the brand, industry folks.
That helped me then get into Fresh Thyme Market.
Great
account. We launched in all 70 stores there.
Awesome.
And so that's really what we've been focused on up until now.
Yeah, amazing. So have you opened up like larger distributors? Are you working with UNFI and KeHE? Are you doing smaller DSDs or regional distributors?
Yeah, we're working with KeHE. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually in the process of signing up with more regional distributors for California because we are still self-distributing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A lot of our accounts.
I mean, yeah, self-distributing is tough, but it's also nice because you get to hold on to a significant chunk of margin, which in the early days when your volume is low is really important oftentimes.
Right.
Did you know that 70 to 80% of CPG brands fail within the first year? Yikes. Because they lack a strategic go-to-market plan, they start without enough funding, or they don't have a clear path to sustainable growth. We've got you covered though. So in Launch Lab, you'll learn how to launch, grow, and scale your brand the right way. We'll give you a step-by-step roadmap, insider strategies for success, marketing and sales playbook, funding and financial guidance. So this is for you if you're a first-time food and beverage CPG founder, you have an idea for a brand and you need a playbook, you're in the early stages and you haven't yet nailed your go-to-market strategy, or you want to expand, you're navigating farmers markets or Shopify and want to venture into retail. Maybe you're developing your product and you're delving into formulation or contemplating a retail entrance. You need strategic guidance. You can be operational, but you're still seeking to refine your go-to-market strategy. Launch Lab Masterclass March, April, May session is sold out. But not to worry, we're launching another session in September. We kick off that first week of September. So go to the show notes and sign up to be on the wait list to get notifications about when early registration opens up. Trust me, if you are doing this for the first time, this is an educational session you absolutely do not want to miss.
All right, so your Lassen's, you have a major anchor East Coast account. Did you start to fill in other regional, like Southern California or California locations?
Yes. So we, this last Expo West, picked up Lazy Acres here in Los Angeles, Fraser Farms in San Diego. So we're really a lot of anchor accounts in the Northwest also. Mm-hmm. PCC, Metropolitan. So that has been great. And we're working with regional distributors. So Crown Pacific up in the Northwest.
Great distributor. Yep.
And launching with Good Stuff Distributing in the Bay Area.
Love Ahmed. Their Good Stuff is such a great partner. Love them.
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that'll be a good partnership for sure.
Oh, and Berkeley Bowl. Yeah, so we picked up all of these accounts. And we're really also big in hotel, like mini bars.
Yes, interesting channel. So let's talk about that. How did that come intentionally? Or did hotels just start purchasing through Fair? How did you decide to open up that channel?
I actually went for it. And like I said, I really have no problem reaching out and calling. Yeah. So that really helped. So I focused, like I said, in the early days when I did 50 stores a day, I did the same thing with hotels, just started emailing and calling all of them, which was great. And we got a lot of interest that way. And then we do see a lot of hotels come through Fair as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. So talk to us about the manufacturing process and how you set that up. So you're a food person. Obviously, running a restaurant is very different than manufacturing a CPG snack brand. When did you decide that you wanted to set up a manufacturing operation? Like on day one, were you just making the product out of your kitchen? Or like, what did that whole process look like to get you to where you are now?
We actually started Date Better out of my restaurant, Penny Oven. We were on there. It's a two-story restaurant. Yeah. We took over the second story and turned it into a complete chocolate factory.
Oh, cool.
And it was really beneficial, especially in the beginning days, because we were able to do market research. I would set up a table in Penny Oven and do demos, basically. Mm. And I would have question cards. Things that I thought were really important to me turned out to be not important to the mass public.
Like what? Give us an example.
Yeah.
Like, what were you asking people that they were like, don't really care about that?
Yeah. So originally adaptogens. Uh-huh. I was so wanting to make like the healthiest product and put maca or like ashwagandha and make a really like beneficial.
Uh-huh. And no one cared.
No. 96% of the people were like, no.
Not. But that's okay. But that's such a brilliant way to do your market research. You've got this brick and mortar location already through retail. And like, think adaptogens are expensive, right? Yes. Like, what if you would have gone to market with that, adding that like super expensive ingredient? And then you figure out when you're already in market that nobody really cares about it. So this is amazing. I love how you validated the product.
Right. It was really beneficial. Another one was organic, which was so surprising to me. Mm-hmm. But not as many people as I thought it was necessary.
Yeah. Are you USDA organic now or no?
We aren't. We use organic dates, chocolate, and then peanuts. I know peanuts are a very heavily rotated crop with cotton that is heavily pesticide ridden. So it was important to me to start off with organic peanuts.
Do you think one day that you'll get certified organic, or will you not really a priority?
I think I will. I think that's definitely a goal, a long-term goal. There's many other certifications I would like to obtain before that.
Yeah, totally. And also very expensive if you're making it yourself as well, too. So if you're not just like falling under someone else's certification, so I get it.
Right.
So anything else interesting that you learned during like the testing and market research phase?
I think it also helped me figure out my demographic, which is huge, right? Like totally. Being able to figure all of these things out early on, I think really helped the brand. And then going back to self-manufacturing, I feel like that is my strong suit, is creating and like implementing and managing people. I think my weaknesses are marketing. So it just made sense for me for a production standpoint. Also, in terms of cash flow, early on, I mean, I've totally bootstrapped this myself. Yeah. And I haven't raised any money. So it really helped me with my cash flow and keep my profitability in the company by self-manufacturing.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point that you bring up. So like you are one of those founders that you and you're a manufacturer and you enjoy manufacturing and that's what you do. It's just interesting. It's like, you know, I talk to founders all the time and so many people start off self-manufacturing just kind of out of desperation, right? Because there's really no other way. The volumes are super low and like they just haven't really been able to find anybody that would work with them yet. And they quickly realize that really they're sales and marketers and that's what they want to focus on. It's rare that you find a founder that says, no, I'm a manufacturer and that's really what I enjoy. I like making my product. It's just not common.
Definitely not common. I think a plus that I have and that helped me decide that also is my husband has this engineering mind. And so he has built me proprietary equipment. Like he built me an automated cartoning machine.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was crazy. We were looking into them and they're like $100,000. And he said, oh, I could build you one probably for like $2,000.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
So cool. And he like 3D printed the parts in the beginning to like get it to work. It's one of those things that I looked at him and said, I wouldn't, you couldn't pay me to take on this project. The fact that you want to just do it is, can't believe it.
God bless him.
Right.
It's funny. Like when I first discovered your product, I don't know, maybe like when you first came out, like a couple of years ago, I reached out to you because I wanted to chat with you. And I mean, if you would have told me that you were making that product yourself, I would have been like, no. She's definitely, a co-packer is definitely doing that for her. Especially because like the size of the boxes, like it's a small package. I don't know. I never would have guessed that you guys are actually making that yourselves. So that's an awesome lesson, I think, in like really leveraging your resources and like playing to your strengths and your talents. So how often are you guys making the product?
We do production. We run the chocolate 3 times a week.
Okay. So often, very, very often. Yeah. And how many people do you have in your facility at a time?
7.
And it's the same 7, like, is it always the same 7 people or do you rotate or?
We rotate.
And is it the same people that work in the restaurant that also work on the manufacturing side or do you have different teams?
There are one person.
So what is your main focus in your business right now, Michelle? I know Whole Foods and let's definitely talk about that for sure. But what are you really focused on right now? Like overall in the business?
Is retail. It
growth? Yeah.
Growth
and retail. Yeah. And are there retailers in specific regions that like you're really going after or you're just like slowly making your way, scooping up the regional natural specialty retailers?
Yes, definitely focused on the natural channel right now and then going into conventional and club. I would say my focus is to land those bigger accounts and really focus on the West Coast right now.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe in go deep before going wide.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really great advice because that way it's more attainable.
Yep.
Just in terms of demos and getting product shipped there.
You hold on to margin as well, too, because you have less freight costs. You can physically show up there as the founder for demos. Yeah. I mean, if you've listened to some of my podcasts, you've obviously know that I'm all about the narrow and deep strategy for sure. So tell us about Whole Foods.
Yeah. So they do an Elite Accelerator program and they pick 10 brands to really support and guide and mentor to get on the shelves of Whole Foods. This last year, I think over 1,600 applicants applied. And Date Better won one of the 10 spots. So
wow.
It was a huge...
Congrats. That's a huge win.
It was a huge win. And I was so grateful.
Well deserved, for sure.
Thank you. And the company is just the best. Everybody that works there, they do a beautiful... Every meeting, we met once a week with a big team. And mm-hmm. then once a week with our forager one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And every meeting, they started off with a recalibration. So we would close our eyes and do like a breathing exercise. And
really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm impressed. I'm actually really surprised.
And then at the end of every meeting, it was a gratitude. So you would share with someone what you were grateful that they did. Like, Danielle, I'm so grateful that you asked me to be on this podcast. I just had the best time. So it was all a gratitude, like 5 minutes.
Wow. That's really cool. I love that. I wonder like when that shift started to happen there.
It's really beautiful. It's so funny too, because when I was at Expo West this year, a broker from Be Driven, who's really in with Sprouts, he mm-hmm. does a lot of work with Sprouts. He came up to the booth and he and I know each other. And he said, congratulations on the leap. And he said, I just hung out with them in their conference room because Whole Foods had a conference room at Expo West. And I got to say, I just can't believe what a fun company they are. Like, I looked around and was like, wait, is anybody like really working? Obviously they're working, but it just made it feel like such a family and like such a beautiful way to work that he was in awe and he said, I have to go back to the Sprouts people and tell them they have to adopt some of this because they're not this at all.
Yeah. So wait, is Leap is like a separate division inside of Whole Foods? Or all of this sort of like wellness stuff is happening through Whole Foods?
I think it happens on all Whole Foods meetings. Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting because that's just not my experience with Whole Foods at all. And I'm wondering if this always existed or if it's like a different category or if there was some type of shift in the company recently.
I have no idea.
Wow.
So Leap is... mostly has all of the foragers. So all of the local foragers are really running the LEAP program and the LEAP cohort.
Cool. So when you roll out July, you said, right?
July.
Yeah. Are you, how many, one region, multiple regions?
Two regions.
Great. Which ones?
All of California.
Awesome. So NorCal and SoCal.
Yes.
Amazing.
And what's amazing with the LEAP program is I don't have to do free fills. My demos.
Very helpful.
Right. My demos are all discounted.
Wow.
All of my marketing is discounted. Like, and you get pluses. So they just told me that I'm going to have all of my like digital banners in the stores. Mm-hmm. They're doing it for free.
Yeah.
They really support you.
Okay. That's great. So anybody who's listening should definitely look at the LEAP program. And sorry, just remind me how you got in front of them. Can you just tell us one more time how you got in front of the LEAP people, the foragers, the local foragers? What did you do specifically? Like, where were you?
I had a booth at Expo West.
Booth at Expo West, yeah.
Where I met one of the foragers. And I had been emailing with him, but I simultaneously applied to the LEAP program.
I see. You met him in person at Expo this year or previous year?
Last year.
Okay, got it. So it's taken a full year to come to life.
Yes. Well, I was part of the LEAP program last year.
Okay.
The new cohort just started, or it's starting right now, or it's starting in like July.
Okay.
And then, yeah, it takes about 8 months to go through the program and get on the shelf.
Well, I am so excited for that. That's going to be so huge for you and the brand. I can imagine there will be a national rollout coming in the next couple of years with Whole Foods, if not sooner. So congrats. Huge natural specialty win.
I hope so. Thank you.
So talk to us about your marketing. What is Date Better doing right now that you feel like is really working or has worked for you?
I'll give a few tips. We didn't do PR. We haven't done a lot of marketing.
Yeah.
We do our social media, like TikTok and Instagram channel. But I will say that I was on Press Hook. Have you heard of that?
I have, yes.
So we did Press Hook for about a year, and that was really helpful. We got into Bon Appetit magazine.
Nice.
One of the editor's favorite snacks.
So you've done a lot of DIY PR then?
Yes.
Okay, great. I love that. I have friends, awesome two women, Bridget and Lydia. They have a company called Visibility on Purpose, and they teach DIY PR. And I feel like it's so valuable because there's so many tech platforms out there like to help early stage founders get some kind of like platform and stage and have editors pick them up. You don't have to go and drop a $10,000 a month retainer on an expensive PR agency. Like there really are ways to do it to still get press and featured without blowing the budget.
I love that. It's so helpful for small startups not to have to raise money because you're not able to do all of this unless you raise capital.
Okay. So you've bootstrapped. So you've self-funded, you've leveraged your restaurant real estate to be able to build out manufacturing. You leverage your restaurant customers to help with your market research. So are you a profitable, is Date Better Snacks a profitable company?
Yes, right. Okay. Now, I mean, we just reinvested all into the business, but yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, and what would you say is that your longer term strategy, you know, the finance side of the business? Are you, do you think one day you'll raise money or are you planning on holding on as long as you can?
That's a great question. I'm really torn about this because I feel like at this point right now, I'm at this tipping point where I feel like a capital influx could really help my growth.
Sure.
I have a lot of interest from a lot of different avenues, right? A lot of big accounts and things that I want to say yes to, but it would take capital.
Yeah.
So I have been dabbling my feet in the fundraising pool and I've been
checking it out.
Yeah, checking it out, just speaking to people. I would love to do it all on my own. But I know that that would just take a longer road.
Yeah. Like for example, say you're 8 months, 9 months into Whole Foods California, and they wanted to do a national rollout or move, bump you up from two regions to four regions, right?
Right.
Would you be able to afford that increase in inventory? Would you have to take on debt financing or investors to make an expansion like that?
Right. I would have to take on debt financing. I mean, it depends, right? It depends. How is California going?
Sure.
If California, the velocity is there. So there's a lot of factors that play into it, but I would love to be prepared. And that's why I'm talking to investors right now.
So is your long-term goal with Date Better to sell Date Better and to move towards acquisition? Or are you planning on holding? Or are you not quite sure yet?
I think acquisition. I do think it would, my long-term goal is freedom of time and to spend more time with my family.
Yep.
And I'm one of those people that is a little bit of a perfectionist. So I really have to be in the business and I don't know how I would be able to manage that if I was still had it to the capacity that I had it.
Right. Yeah. So having the restaurants and having the CPG business is like, takes up a lot of time.
It takes up so much time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I know.
It's definitely full.
Yeah. Isn't freedom of time what we all want, right? It really is.
So
I know. I get it. So, you know, what has it been like for you as a woman, Michelle, entering into this industry, CPG is different from restaurant, obviously, but there's definitely a lot of similarities, I would say. Like there's some crossover. It's very different though. This is a male-dominated industry. What has that been like for you as a female founder?
Definitely experienced it. It's really crazy. Two specific times that really stuck with me. One, I was part of the PepsiCo Greenhouse Accelerator. And part of that, like one of the last, I probably shouldn't even be saying this, but I'm going to share it anyways.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah. One of the last meetings you got to have was, you know, the head of the, one of the big decision makers at Pepsi that really is the one that decides like if brands are going to get acquired. And so we got to have an app, like a 30-minute meeting one-on-one to just, you know, kind of pick his brain. And his response to Date Better was so off-putting.
Really?
I can't believe it. It was like, you know, you should not take money. You should stay a small brand. You should just try to stay as profitable as you can because I don't see that a brand like this ever becoming big time. I just don't think the American public is ready for dates.
And that's so funny.
And I looked at him and I said, oh, that's, I guess it's my job to prove you wrong then, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
And it's things like that. And then another time I was speaking to a broker and he was treating me like a child, the way he was speaking to me. And I got off that call knowing that if my husband had been the one. It would have been so different on both of those calls.
Totally.
My husband was listening to the one with Pepsi and he just, his mouth was like dropped. He's like, I just can't believe.
Things
he's saying.
Yeah. And your story's so not unique, you know, like it was funny. I was talking to Good Girl Snacks, Leia and Yasmin. I don't know if you know them, Hot Girl Pickles. And I asked them the same question because they're two young girls, right? Like in their early 20s. And they, this is my favorite. They thought about hiring a, like a fake, like guy employee, like a male employee, just to like have like a guy on the team. Yeah. And it's funny because I laugh at that now, but I've worked internally and run companies for CPG companies for many, many years. And, you know, for 15 years of my career, I worked in-house. There's specific times that, you know, it was like, I should take the meeting or someone else should take the meeting just solely based on like gender or what type of person we're talking to. Like, are we talking to a canning manufacturer? Because if yes, I probably just like be a lot better if I'm just in the background, even though I was the president or the CEO of the company.
So ridiculous.
And I mean, that was like constant. That was just like time and time again. But eventually you just don't give a shit anymore, right?
Right.
And you're like, no. Because early in my career, I didn't know a lot, right? And like, I did have a lot to learn. But as I became more seasoned and had more experience and had seen a lot more and had experienced a lot more, it's like, no. And you just start talking louder, basically.
Right.
That's what happens. You just start talking louder and like someone talks over you, then you talk over them and you cut them off. You know what I mean?
I love that. Yeah, no, it is. It's what I do. It's like, I don't care. And that's like what I said to the Pepsi exec. I guess it's my job to prove you wrong then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to cower and be like, okay, yes, I'm less than because I'm a woman.
No, not at all. And look, some people aren't always going to get it, you know, and those just aren't your people.
I always say that, you know what? Date Better is not for everyone, and that's okay.
I heard this on a podcast the other day. You're not pizza. Everyone is not always going to like you, and it's so true, right?
That is so true.
It's such a stupid statement, but it's like, actually, oh yeah, you're true. I'm not pizza. Not everybody's going to like me or my brand.
Right.
And who fucking cares, honestly?
Who fucking cares? Actually, the founder of Dermalogica has a great motto, and it's something worth looking into, and I'm probably going to chop it up trying to say it, so I won't, but it has to do with that. Like, don't try to go for 100% of the people, because 80% don't fucking care, and 20% are going to love you. So
yeah, Yeah, so exactly. That. And I think too, like as you get older, like I just care less and less.
Isn't it amazing? I just heard
it really story. Is so, it's just like the most freeing thing, you know, just genuinely not giving a shit.
My sister just told me yesterday something beautiful about menopause. So many people are like worried to go through menopause, but menopause is actually the freedom of not giving a fuck, like not caring anymore.
Yeah. In your 20s and your 30s, when you cared so much, you know, you just like, you shed that. And it really is, it feels so good.
I have a teenager right now that is in
God bless you.
And it's so sad because they care so much about everything.
I
the
know.
Shoes, the this, and it's, you have to just let them go through it, but it's really hard.
I know. My 9-year-old is going through like that as well, too. Like, she's really starting to care, like, a lot, and is concerned with being popular, and it's just like, yeah, you feel for them, you know, because you know that they're going to be in that for decades. Like, they're going to, that's like a long journey.
Right.
So anyway, okay. So what's next, Michelle? Like what, obviously Whole Foods, right? But like, what are the next couple years going to look like for Date Better?
I think the growth. So there are a lot of things I'm excited about entering, but I also just got accepted to TikTok Shop Accelerator.
Oh, awesome.
That's something I've really, really been wanting to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I
said, your brand is great for that. Love it.
I think so. I think it will be good on TikTok. So yeah. I'm really going to dive into that and give TikTok Shop a big go.
Yeah. Look at you getting your TikTok on. I love it. The woman who says she's not strong in marketing.
I'm not. So I'm going to learn. I'm going to do it. But I think it will also help the Whole Foods roll out.
Yeah. It's fun to be in uncomfortable situations too and like get outside of your comfort zone a little bit. So that should be fun. So, okay, but I have a personal question for you. So what is your, like, what's your workload like with, you know, the restaurants and the manufacturing with the kids and everything? Like, how do you balance it all?
I mean, it's definitely full. It's no joke. But I think I've learned that it's really like how I start and end my day.
Okay.
That makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So every morning I wake up and I exercise and I also prepare all of my own food as much as possible. Because I think that like it helps me be the best version of myself if I feel good.
Yeah.
I don't feel good when I eat out a lot. So that's the first thing is like really starting my morning off in a good place. And then at night, I just, you know, I make peace with whatever I didn't finish.
I
forgive myself and then I move it to tomorrow's list. And I remind myself, okay, I'm doing my best. It's not always easy. There's like days that I beat myself up. And I mean, we all do. But most of the time, I just focus on like really being kind to myself. And I think that's what really gives me like energy to keep going.
Yeah. Self-care.
I think setting those routines that really can help you just be in a good mindset.
Yeah, I know. The solid morning routine, nothing beats that. I couldn't agree more. So what sage advice would you give to a founder just starting out today?
I'm a strong believer in like how I did it. Like make sure that you can be as financially slim as possible. Mm-hmm. I think that helps alleviate some of the stress. I mean, I know that I was really privileged in being able to start it at my restaurant. I mean, we're now in a factory, but I think starting small, and I think I like one thing too is just like remember how small we are in this vast, abundant universe. Because I think there's a lot of times when you're starting out, it's like this is everything, and if I don't get this right, like everything else is gonna go to shit, right? But that's not true. Like, so when things get really hard, and they will, just step back and remind yourself that you're part of something so much bigger. Right.
Yeah.
You're like, you're this light and this love inhabiting this body, but really there's so much more in the universe. And like when you zoom out, all the little fires, they don't seem as urgent.
Yeah.
I think that perspective was really going to help you stay grounded and like lead with the love and the light that you really are.
Yeah. Great advice.
Yeah. It would just help you like focus on your bigger mission in life.
Don't get stuck in the weeds of all the little things going wrong on the day to day. Keep your eye on the big picture stuff.
Yeah.
I love that.
Zoom out.
So if you knew what you knew now when you were just starting out, would you have started this business?
I would. Yeah. I love it. I'm so happy and it's fun. Like you were saying before with the TikTok thing, like doing something that you don't know and you're not really good at, it can be overwhelming and scary. But I think when you conquer that, you get such a sense of like accomplishment and like, I did it. And I get that a lot.
What's that saying? Life starts at the edge of where you're comfortable or something, or like living starts at like the edge of your comfort zone.
Oh, I love that. I haven't heard that.
I love that saying. I feel like I can't remember where I heard that, but it always stuck with me. It's so true. It's like, that's when you really start living, is when like you step outside and like you're there, right? You're like on the tip of like really being uncomfortable. Like that's when you're really living your life and experiencing, you know?
It's so true.
Yeah. So Michelle, where can everybody find you? Where can we find Date Better?
On our website. And then we have a great store locator on our site. We're in all those little shoppy shops and we'll be in Whole Foods really soon.
Yay. Awesome. And then your Instagram handle is at Date Better Snacks.
Yes.
Cool. So Instagram as well. Yeah. Thank you so much for chatting with me. This was awesome. I loved hearing your story. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
See you soon.
Bye. Bye.
If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much if you follow and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. For tips and advice on your food and beverage CPG brand, you can find us on Instagram at It's All Happening Co. or visit our website at itsallhappeningagency.co to be the first to hear about workshops, courses, and in-person events and freebies. Until next week.